Baptist himself needed a word of confirmation from God. And the Bible says in verse 1, chapter 11, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again today. And Lord, we do look to you for encouragement. Lord, I pray you speak to every heart that's here. You know every need. Lord, I pray that we can put our faith and trust in you wholly. Lord, no reservations. Help us to understand you love us. Lord, you want the best for us. We just follow your leading, Lord. Help us to do that. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here, never trusted you, never given her life to you, Lord. I pray today will be the day they call on your name before it's eternally too late. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We see a man near John the Baptist. We know about him. Most of us know about him. And we saw that a man that needed an encouraging word from the Lord. Very first point I want to look at, just his calling in general, his calling. You know, we're coming up on Christmas, and we're going to be talking about the miraculous birth of Jesus. But John the Baptist himself had a miraculous birth of sorts. His mother was the cousin of Mary, Jesus' mother. John's mother's name was Elizabeth. She was a cousin of Jesus' mother, Mary. And the Bible tells us that and when you study John the Baptist's life out, that they were, his mother, John's mother, and father were both well stricken in years. Kind of reminds you of Abraham. In other words, they had gotten past the point where you normally plan on having children. But an angel visited John's father and said, Listen, you know, Elizabeth's going to have a child. I'm paraphrasing how he said it, but he said, Elizabeth's going to have a child. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth, which meant no razor come on his head. He wouldn't drink wine. He wouldn't eat grapes. He wouldn't touch dead bodies. He's going to be separated unto God. We know from Scripture that he was going to be a messenger that would go and prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come into the world. Elizabeth was a little farther along than Mary, I believe, and so he was born first. But he would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ to prepare the way just a little bit before his time. And so when the angel told John's father that Elizabeth's going to come with child, he kind of questioned like anybody would. Said, well, you know, I don't know how to understand because we're old and we're past the time. And the angel said, you're going to see some works. And the angel made it so that John's father couldn't talk. He couldn't speak until after John's birth. He was just, he couldn't talk, and everybody wondered what happened to him. And he was making signs and writing things down. And when after John's birth, his voice came back. Just a little confirmation there that this was a sort of a supernatural or an ordained, which all births, I believe, are ordained by God. And then also, while both of the mothers, when Mary was carrying her child, Jesus, she went to visit Elizabeth, who was carrying John at that time. And the Bible says that when Mary and Jesus came into the room, that John leapt in his mother's womb. His mother felt him jump. You know, for joy when Jesus and his mother just entered into the room. Don't that kind of make your hair just stand up on the back of your neck right there, huh? So, you know, we know that the workings of God, in other words, were going on. And later on, as when John grew, we don't know anything else about John's life up until he was out in the wilderness that we just read about. He was preaching repentance. He was preaching prepare the way of the Lord, the preparation for Jesus Christ. He rebuked evil. Man, I'm telling you, you're talking about a guy that wasn't going to start a church. The Pharisees and scribes would come out, and he would be up there preaching and call them a bunch of vipers, you know, a bunch of snakes is basically what he's calling. You know, that's not a way we would go around building a church today, but that's what he was doing. And so, you know, he preached the word and actually called out Herod the king. Herod had put away his own wife and had taken his brother's wife to be his own wife, stole his brother's wife away from him. Nice family, a Herod family there to be in. And because of that, actually that and several other things, because he was rebuking evil, Herod had put John in prison, and that's where we find him in chapter 11. That's the reason that he's in prison, is because he called out that old wicked King Herod and told him what he was doing was wrong, and of course the king didn't like it. So he's in prison. But now the high point of John's ministry, at the high point of his ministry, I mean, people were flocking, and Jesus talked about it in our text. What'd you go out there in the wilderness to see? What'd you go out there for? I mean, here was this rough-looking guy dressed in camel's hair. The Bible says he was out there preaching the gospel, and he was telling them like it was. I mean, you didn't come in with any hypocrisy. He called you out on it. He said, what do you go out there to see? Big crowds were coming out. John sort of knew what was going on. Big crowds came out, and the high point had to be on the day that Jesus approached John. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus walked up to John and said, I have need to be baptized. And John told him, he said, well, I have need to be baptized of thee. But nevertheless, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. How'd you like that on your resume right there? I mean, this had to be a high point of his ministry. But now we see John's in prison. Now he's in prison. And I believe because of that, it maybe led to some confusion in his mind. The next point I want to talk up, his confusion. So he's locked up. The crowds are gone. The Bible doesn't even say that Jesus visited him. Matter of fact, he probably didn't, because John could have asked the question that we saw in our text. He sent a couple of his disciples and say, hey, ask Jesus, is he the one, or should we look for another? Is he the one, or should we look for another? You know, he's a little bit confused. Just before, when he baptized, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. He was clear on that. But he said, now he said, are you the one, or do we look for another? John was a prophet of God. He spoke the word of God. He knew that a Messiah would come. And listen, not only was John a prophet, John knew this about himself, and the reason I'm telling you all this is so you can determine, you know, if this guy needs a confirmation, a confirming word from God, then certainly we may from time to time need a confirming word. John not only was a prophet, he was the fulfillment of prophecy himself. The Old Testament said there was going to be a forerunner, that there was going to be a messenger. Jesus spoke about, this is he of whom it is written, is what he said right there. And when he talked about it in verse 10, he said, for this is he of whom it is written. That's Old Testament. Old Testament, Exodus 4:15 and Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Malachi 3:1. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way. So not only was he a prophet of God, he was the fulfillment of prophecy, his very self. And I know that John the Baptist knew it. But he still needed a confirming word from God. Huh? When things got not like he thought, when he was in prison, when he was discouraged, he needed a word from God. Things look different when you get into prison. You ever notice that? Things look different from the dungeon than they do when you're at the high point of your ministry. When you're out there preaching to the crowds and you're baptizing Jesus himself, things look different than when you get in the dungeon. See, one of the things that happens to us, and I think we were talking, just kind of the Sunday school lesson kind of went along with it, when we have tribulations, what it does for us. You know, one of the things, of course, they call it, draws us closer to God and makes us stronger and teaches us patience. The Bible tells us those things right there. But, you know, we get these ideas that when we're trusting God and we're following God, and we get an idea that this is how it ought to go. Right? I mean, it ought to just go good. Right? We're doing God's. I mean, John the Baptist, I mean, he was doing God's work. It ought to be good. But what happened? You know, we start thinking, well, you know what, God ought to do this. And this is what God probably should do. And when God doesn't do, and this, listen, this works in any relationship. You think that this person ought to do that and this, and they don't do it, and then you get disappointed, you get discouraged, and things don't work out. And so it didn't work out like God, like he thought. His agenda wasn't, you know, working out. And I thought about it. I thought, all right, if I'm John the Baptist and I had been in a ministry like that and it had been really high and things, and now I'm in the dungeon, what kind of questions do you think were going around in John's head? I thought of the real simple ones right off the bat. You know, why did Jesus allow this to happen? I'm the forerunner. I'm supposed to be preparing the way for his ministry. I mean, how come I got locked up? How come he hasn't sent some angels or somebody to come and rescue me out of the jail? This would be a good thought, right? He did in other places in the Bible. Why hasn't he come to see me? Why didn't Jesus go to see John? He loved him. But these are questions that I was just thinking would have probably been. I don't know that that's what he thought. I'm just thinking that's what he thought. And I'm probably pretty close to the truth. And you know, what happened was the days turned into weeks and the weeks turned into months and things started dragging by. You know, I don't think on day one that John was thinking like that. I think on day one he was, you know, you're in a different state of mind. But as the time starts going, you sitting in them old dungeons. Listen, it wasn't like these jails on TV. I was watching one of them shows about the worst prisons wherever they got. And the Russians got it figured out. The Russians got it figured out. You know, in America, you know, you see them prison shows and they got more dope in the prisons than they got out on the streets, and people's getting murdered and people getting cut. Not in a Russian prison. They put you in there. When you go anywhere, they got your handcuffs locked. You got to bend over like this, and two guys hold your arm up behind your head and you can't look up. You walk everywhere you go. When you get to your cell, there's a big steel door. When you get through that door, there's a bar door. You open that bar door, and then there's another bar door, and you open that and you go in your cell. And you stay in there. Anybody with a life sentence stays in there by themselves. They take them out to walk in a littler, a thing maybe as big as from here to the wall. That's your exercise yard. And when you go anywhere, then you're back this way, and you don't look around, and they blindfold you. When you're out in the exercise yard, you can't see daylight. They blindfold you. You don't see nothing. I said, man, but you know what? They don't have no murders in them prisons. Nobody's ever escaped one of them. They don't have no drug abuse in them prisons. Man, they checked them up and down. I mean, they got it figured out. Sounds rough, doesn't it? But, you know, prisons, we got TV and this and that and all that going. But in John's day, in old dungeon, down at the bottom, dark, damp, you know, rats, roaches, and everything runs downhill, so use your imagination. Not a good place to be, right? That's where he was. So weeks and months, and your mind starts, you know, your outlook's not the same as it was. And I believe you get depressed and disappointed and get perplexed. You look in the Bible, a lot of God's servants got that way. You remember old Elijah? Man, went up against all the 850 false prophets of Baal. Man, he called down fire out of heaven. Boy, boom, God burned up the sacrifice, and then they slew all the false prophets. I mean, he was on cloud nine. The next day, he gets threatened by Ahab's wife, Jezebel. And then it said he ran for his life, went out in the woods, said he wished he would die, went out in the desert, said he wished he would die. How many of you get like these people right here? Like, I mean, one day, man, everything, man, you on cloud nine, you ready to tackle hell with a squirt gun. And the next day, one little bump thing comes up, circumstance, person thing, comes up. And the next thing you know, and you're ready to run out in the woods. You ever get like that? And you wonder, why? Isn't that how it is? I mean, we kind of go up and down. You know why? Because we're human beings. That's why. Elijah got like that. Remember Jonah? Jonah ran down there. Man, Jonah went down there to Nineveh and preached to Nineveh. A bunch of wicked Ninevites, man. Them people was mean, wicked. You know how they like to kill? Like to flay people to death. You know how, anybody know what flaying a fish is? That's how they put you to death. Just flay little pieces off of you till you're dead. Huh, what a way to go, huh? Don't they give you the creeps just thinking about it. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go down there and preach to the Ninevites. He didn't want to go. This shows you that God can use somebody that don't want to do it. You're looking at one now. I'm just kidding. And he said, you go down there and preach to Ninevites. And he went down there and preached. to the Ninevites, and they had a big revival. God was going to destroy them in a certain amount of days, but they had a big revival. It lasted about 125, I think, or 150 years before God actually fulfilled his prophecy on destroying the city. And Jonah went down there and preached, had a big revival, and then next thing you know, he was out in the desert, and he just wished he'd die, you know, wanted to die. As he's probably a Baptist, but that's what happened with him. So, I mean, you know, you see that happen in the Bible, but God raised him up. I mean, God dealt with him, and it happens to us. Like I said, circumstances, people, things. I asked Jasmine the other day. I told Jasmine I'm going to use, and Jasmine was all kind of, she was aggravated. I said, what are you aggravated about? She said, oh, people. I said, there you go. See, on Wednesday night, my Wednesday night group that's here on Wednesday night Bible study, we know what robs our joy, don't we? People, circumstance, and things. Those are the three things that takes your joy every time. People, circumstance, and things. We understand that. And it happens. And when that happens, when our joy is gone, now we get disappointed, discouraged, depressed, whatever. And you know, we don't, like I say, same way, don't understand why things happen the way they do. But see, when you start to learn that God has a plan, and that his sole purpose isn't to come running to our beck and call to meet every little whim and need that we have. Actually, we're here for God's beck and call to meet every need and little whim that he has and to glorify God. Right, class? Our sole purpose is to glorify God, right? We understand that. Once we start learning that, see, then we can kind of say, well, you know, I don't know exactly why I'm going through everything I'm going through, but God's got a plan, right? God's got a plan. God can trust us with that. So, you know, God had to... John got depressed, and he said, well, I don't understand. He said, you know, behold the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. He baptized him. He knew about some things. But then he asked this question. He said, go out and ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? What changed? Just the circumstances. Just the circumstances changed. Before he knew. Now he's not sure because the circumstances, that's all. That's all that changed. So Jesus said, I'm going to clarify it for you. Even in prison, word had got to John somehow about what Jesus was doing. So he heard about that, but he still said, well, I just want to know, like, if this is the real thing. There had been, like, charlatans that had come along and said that they were from God and did some hocus-pocus things, and people heard about it, and then after a while, just a flash in the pan, they were gone. And so John probably started thinking, well, maybe I want to make sure that this is the Messiah, that Jesus is the real one. And so he sent those two disciples and asked that question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So what did Jesus do? Jesus could have said, yes, I'm him. Can't hang your hat on that too good though, right? I mean, Jesus didn't do it that way. And that's a good thing. Jesus didn't do that. You know, look what Jesus said. Jesus didn't. This is what he said to him. He said, listen, You go show John again those things which ye hear and which ye see. Huh? In other words, what you know and what you've seen, your own self. This is soul winning 101 right here. What do you, you know, Pastor, I just don't know what to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. And if he hadn't done anything in your life, then you need to get saved, not the person you want to go talk to about Jesus. Huh? What? Tell them what you saw. Tell them what you hear. Tell them what you know. That's what he said. And he says, he said, listen, this is a witness right here. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Leopards are cleansed. Deaf hear. The dead raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. That was a fulfillment of scripture right there. What he did was he gave John evidence. It's something that you can hang your hat on, in other words. He just didn't say, yeah, I'm the one. He said, I'm going to give you some evidence. I'm going to give you something. You know, God, listen, God's not asking you to have blind faith. It's not blind faith. We got the Word of God right here. Listen, just because it happened, what we read in the Bible, and listen, God's still on the throne today. I mean, you don't have to go back. Yeah, well, I remember 40 years ago. Ooh, I got feeling really crazy and goosebumps running up and down my spine. If that's all God's done for you, huh, you're missing something in your life. I mean, God's doing something in people's lives today. He's doing something in my life. But what we're reading in the Bible, okay, so it happened 2,000 years ago. That's all right. We read American history. We read world history. It happened a long time ago, too, but it happened just the same. It's just as real as it was there. Jesus didn't say, listen, I'm just going to give you a yes. I'm going to give you some evidence. Here it is. Dead raised. Top that one. Huh? Leopards cleansed, which nobody cleansed. Leopards. Blind receive their sight. I mean, this is stuff that only God could do. This is stuff only God can do. He says, I'm going to give you some evidence. based on the truth of God's word and his witnesses, based on the power of Jesus' words. And all those evidences were fulfillment of the scripture, prophecy. John was a prophet. He knew it. This is like, you're talking about a confirming word. He didn't say, yeah. He said, listen, this is what I'm doing. This is the right answer. This is it. I'm the one. That's all John needed. It's the same evidence, like I said, that God wants us to offer as evidence to the world out here. It's called, if you ever go and apply for a job, or you interview somebody if you're smart, if you interview somebody for a job, well, do you have any references? You got a reference. So you put down there some names. Well, if I call up one of them names, I mean, I say, hey, man, can the guy, how is the guy with whatever job it may be? Is he good? Yeah. I want a little more than that. Is he qualified for the job? Yep. Well, how do you know he's qualified for the job? I want to know something. Tell me something. What can he do? Well, he did this, this, and this, and this. Man, you ought to see what a job he did. Man, nobody did it better. That's what I want to hear. I mean, I want to hear something right there. It's the same thing. Well, listen, this is the, listen, when you're going to witness to somebody, this is what God wants you to do. He just doesn't want to say, well, Jesus is the Messiah. And you know, boy, you better get saved because you're going to go to hell if you don't, you know. I mean, that's, he wants you to give an evidence of the power of God in your life to somebody else. Well, how do you know all this is true? Here I am. This is the same evidence that Jesus doesn't want you to say yes, no, perhaps, and maybe. I mean, he wants you to say, you know, God, there's the power of God to change your life, and I'm a living proof of that. The world doesn't have an argument for this. John didn't have an argument for that. I mean, all the witnesses, like I say, he was already in prison. Man, they didn't have television. They didn't have CNN, ABC, Fox News, and all that to get depressed anymore. He heard, you know, the word got around. People were talking about it. They were talking about this. And so, somebody was saying, this is what we've seen. I mean, it was a claim. Listen, when you think about this, if you're a say you're saved, then you say that you identify with Christ. What's your evidence? What's the proof? Not just saying it. It was works. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm the Messiah because I said I'm the Messiah. That ain't what he told John. He said, listen to this. This is what I'm doing. Huh? That's what the world wants to see now. Everybody, you know, you go to Botetourt County, everybody in Botetourt County is saved. All you got to do is ask them. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with God. Talk like they've been in hell all their life instead of anywhere near heaven. Don't have nothing to do with God. Don't have nothing to do with God's church. Not doing anything to further the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm fine. What are you doing? Show me something. What's your references? You know, what do you have? What proof do you have of your salvation? And then we see his commendation in verse 7 through 11. He had the privilege to announce the coming of Jesus, to baptize Jesus. And Jesus affirmed that he was a prophet. And actually that, he said he was the greatest. And if you keep reading, you'll find out that John was the last prophet. The prophets, the Bible says, were until John. He fulfilled prophecy himself. But then Jesus said something profound. And he said in verse 11, yeah, so look on the right page, it would work out, that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is John the Baptist. I mean, his mother was Mary's cousin. He was announced his birth by an angel. He said, behold the Lamb of God. He understood Bible prophecy. He baptized Jesus. And God and Jesus himself said, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It didn't mean John wasn't going to heaven. But it means this. John wasn't going to be living when Jesus gave his greatest gift that he would ever give to the world, the offering of himself as an atonement for sin, and then the giving in a permanent way of the Holy Spirit of God, that we have a living union with Jesus Christ. John didn't have that. Have a living union with Jesus Christ. See, John preached repentance. There's a problem with it is nobody could do it all the time. It's not that you couldn't repent some. But he preached repentance, repentance, repentance. And what we got? Failure, failure, failure. So Jesus Christ came and said, John didn't know nothing about that. He didn't know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead because he was already dead himself. That's what he meant. He meant that you and I are going to experience something greater than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had some good deal, man. I mean, that was a good, but we experienced something greater than he ever experienced. And that is that we can trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit of God comes into us and we have a living union that Christ is dwelling in me. Amen. He never knew it. And then guess what? Then Jesus was doing the works. Guess who's doing them now? It's still Jesus doing the works, but he's doing them through us. And we get to experience that in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He ushered in a new era, a personal living relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the indwelling Spirit, a greater experience than John did. Man, that's something right there. See, we all, from time to time, need a word of confirmation in our life. Man, see, our problem is that we've been in church a long time. We hear this stuff all the time. And it's just in one ear and out the other while we're daydreaming about something else. And we don't really get it, you know, like somebody that's never heard it. You don't really get it. Man, and so then when trials, and you can ask any Christian, I know I'm not supposed to worry, but I know I'm not supposed to get depressed, but it happens. You know why? Because we forget, man, and we need to hear. And John, it happened to him, and Jesus had something for him. I'm going to tell you what happens to you. Jesus got something for you too. It's right here in the Word of God. Huh? We got the Word of God. I mean, we got the Holy Spirit of God, but he's not working outside the Word of God. We got the power. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, man, there's a time, man, you can get depressed. And, man, you can get down in the dumps. And I mean circumstances, people, things, they can all be on your back. I'm going to tell you what, you know what I did yesterday? I got it on my phone. I read in the Psalms. Man, you ever get down, and that's a good place to go. Man, read in the Psalms. I started reading in the Psalms, man, about God lifting my head up above my enemies. Huh? Man, I mean, cleansing me, giving me a new heart, cleansing me. Man, I don't care what it is. I was telling the church Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you something right here. I'm almost done. We're talking about praying for revival, and we got a revival schedule, a revival meeting schedule for in the spring. Harold Vaughn's going to come and preach. And sometimes I think we get mixed up with, and we got to pray like for months, and we heard about the Burlington Revival. They prayed for 15 years and before they, it's not the amount of time. It has nothing to do with the amount of time. The reason they prayed for 15 years is because 14 years, 364 days, they was praying wrong. That's what happened. All it takes is just like this. When we get honest with God, we confess, God, this is what I am. And God already knows. He just wants you to admit it to yourself. You know, when we start getting honest with God and get down and say, hey, this is it. This is what's wrong. Man, you can have a revival instantly. That day. It just takes God's people confessing what they are, who they are. Being honest with God. Man, I mean, we can have that. So and then you'll know something about that relationship. Man, we've grieved the Spirit and calloused our own hearts, and God can't work like that. John needed that word from God. He heard that word from God. I'm going to tell you what his outlook, I guarantee you, I don't know. You know, he lost his life. I mean, he was beheaded because of his stand for God. Instantly, he knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he lost his life because he was in heaven in glory. He was there, he knew something about it. But I mean, instantly. But I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, from that day when Jesus said, this is what I've done, tell him, this is what I've done, this is what you see, John said, it's him, it's him. He may have said, I don't understand everything God's doing, but I know he's on schedule, he's got the plan. This is all according to God's plan. Huh? And I think his attitude from that day to the day he died was one of victory, one of joy. You can have the same thing. You know, God has got a word of confirmation for us. This is it. In the Bible. Let's all stand.